I started the whole thing on 23. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, I wish I had my other translation, but I don't have it today. When you sit down to eat with a ruler or someone of high importance in the world, consider carefully what is before you. Put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. I'm thankful that God doesn't literally mean to kill yourself, but he wants you to hate what he hates. And what he's saying is don't be misled by people that other people think are important, and then go along with things that the Holy Spirit wouldn't want you to go along with. And Daniel is one of the stories. You know, if you have a problem with eating, I would really recommend you study the life of Daniel. Study the part where he was taken before the king, and they wanted to really give them the best food and give them all the delicacies because they thought that would make them wiser. And they wanted to treat them like royalty so that they would have wisdom and supernatural power to help the king. And study how Daniel didn't buy into the flattery. He didn't buy into that this was the best way for him to use his gifting. But he chose to submit his body to God and the temple of God, and he trusted God with that. And he ate those things that would not lure him into a life of laziness and obesity. So that would be something I would really suggest that you study. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Lord, show me the strength Daniel had to say no. Show me the strength he had. Study the diet that God had him to eat. I'm not saying go on that diet. I'm saying just really study it and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation about how he kept Daniel from falling into the trap of that society. And look at the discipline that Daniel had. It would have been so easy for him to say, sorry, Lord, I'm going to eat whatever they put before me because I have to for my own life. And then look also how God gave Daniel favor so that the king allowed him to not go against what he knew was right between him and God. Okay. Do not overwork to be rich. Oh, this is a really good one. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. So he's given you a couple of things here. He says, look, don't be impressed by all the fancy foods that are luring you into a life of leisure, luring you into a life of bad habits that's going to attack your body. And then he says, and be careful not to overwork thinking that money's your answer. And then spend all your time and all your energy on getting wealth. Because really, riches don't last. They just take off and they're not your answer. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So here he's saying, you know, when you eat, what's a miser? Let's look up miser. Proverbs would be really fun just to preach. Because they just sound like little rhymes, you know, little poems. But there's some really powerful wisdom that God has placed there for only those who really will go and search it out. I think it means someone who's real cheap, but let's see. Miser, a mean, grasping person. One who lives miserably in order to hoard his wealth. Isn't that something? The word miserable comes from the word miser. A wretched, inadequate, meager. One who causes extreme discomfort or unhappiness. One who's in a pitiful state of distress and unhappiness. So the Lord is saying there are people who are going to have this spirit. They're a miser. They tempt you with all these great things. They want you to sit down. They say, hey, eat, drink. But their heart is not with you. They really don't want They really don't want to entertain you. They really don't want to have you eat and drink. They're really so concerned about their money. They're trying to get what they can get from you. So he's telling you, watch when you eat and drink with them. Because whatever you eat, you're going to throw it up. And you've wasted your pleasant words. In other words, they're using you. For some reason, if a miser is offering you these things, he wants something in exchange. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their case against you. We'll get into all this, but those are pretty neat. Apply your heart to instruction, your ears to hear words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, literally here, it's not talking about child abuse. This is a Spirit-filled Life Bible. But this isn't talking about somebody beating someone in anger. This isn't talking about the abuse we see today. This is talking about someone who, by the control of the Holy Spirit, knows that they need to let that child know that that is improper and you cannot tolerate it, so that they will learn to listen. You know, whether we like it or not, it seems like it takes some pain, even when God corrects us, to really listen, to really get the fear of the Lord. You've got to be facing something where you know that if God doesn't move, you've had it. That if God doesn't intervene on your behalf, that's what the fear of the Lord is. It's realizing I need to be in his will. Because if I'm not, Satan's going to really mess with me. But if I'm in his will, I'm totally protected and safe. And God teaches us to trust his judgment and to trust his ways when we don't understand them necessarily by correcting us. And as a parent, that's what you're really doing when you spank. It's not about anger. It's about being able to give them a reminder that this is bad for you. So that they learn that running out in front of a car is bad for them before they find out a different way that it's bad for them. To find out that sassing a parent or being disrespectful is bad for them. So that they'll get a job one day. So that they'll be able to serve God one day. See, when you discipline, you have to really think of what is it that I'm making them remember is not acceptable. It's not a random just beat them and they don't even have a clue what's going on. It's completely about training them. It's funny, people will beat their dogs so that they won't, you know, go to the bathroom on the floor or chew up something. But they don't even have enough love for their kids, God's kind of love, to say this is unacceptable. And then you wonder why they end up in jail. Or you wonder why they rape somebody. Or you wonder why they get kicked out of school. Or you wonder why. The reason is you didn't train them up to know some things you can't do. And timeout chair just doesn't seem to hack it. Because we have a whole generation right now of timeout chairs, people. Who are just running the streets and doing whatever they want. But it has to be done in love. It has to be done with correction. It can't be done in anger. And if you were abused, you need to get healed. Because God's laws and the way he does things doesn't change because you were abused. And so you need the rebellion tapes. Because some people go the other extreme. I was beaten as a child. I will never, ever spank my child. And what you're saying to God is, you are wrong to put that in there. And then when your child grows up not respecting anyone, no one can stand to be around them, it's because you didn't believe God and his word. Let me say this. There is such lawlessness in the generation that's going to follow the Antichrist. And that lawlessness began because you never corrected them. Children should respect adults. And you need to train your child to respect adults. If my sons come home and they badmouth about a teacher, and that teacher could be wrong. Maybe that's not the way I would have done it. But when I come in agreement with my child against the teacher, then I am basically coming in agreement against Christ as the teacher. Now, we're in Christian school, so it's easier. But what I've learned to do is to say, the Bible says if you feel like you're despitefully used, you bless that person. If you feel like you're offended, you go to that person. So instead of you being allowed to badmouth this teacher, we're going to go talk to this teacher. And if we can't work this out, we'll get the principal, because the Bible says if you don't come to an agreement, get someone else to go with you. Or if you think maybe this issue isn't as a big deal as you're trying to make it, we can just pray and bless this teacher, and we'll go to the card store and you can get a card and send it to this teacher and bless them. Or you can begin to pray for this teacher every night. But you will not be disrespectful about your teacher, because whether she's doing a good job of it or not, she represents Christ as the teacher. And you don't have the luxury of bashing her. If it's a real abuse situation with that teacher, you need to pray about it, and God will get your child out of that situation. If you can't get above it, then God will get you out from under it. But you never allow your child to be disrespectful, unless you want your child to be disrespectful to every adult and you and to God. See, what you do with your children, you are telling them this is okay. And I know we don't all do it correctly. And if you have certain children with strong personalities, more the prophetic apostle types, then they will try to wear you down so that you will not correct them. You're just going to have to ask for more grace, and don't let it ever be worth their while to wear you down. There should be no power struggle in parenting, because the parent has all the power. See, there's no power struggle in the kingdom of God. He already knows he's king, and he already knows who he's anointed, and he knows how to take care of every situation. We were talking today, I don't know if it's Karen and I or Edie and I or someone, but we were talking today about a lot of the problems in the body of Christ is people try to lord it over each other. They don't know what else to do. But honestly, if I don't allow myself to control people or to lord it over, even if the power struggles try to make me get in that position, I just watch God take care of it. He either has the person leave, resign, or we work it out, or whatever. But I never have to make strong rules to rule over people. I just sit and teach the word and help people learn how to walk in love and deal with it if I'm offended or somebody's offended, and watch God take care of it. And we're not used to that. We're not really used to letting the Holy Spirit be in charge. Lord will show you exactly what to do. And the main thing he wants you to deal with is you. And when you really feel a power struggle or some kind of issue or control, and you run to God and ask him to show you, you'll be changed in it. If the other person doesn't change, then God will just make them repeat the test. But doesn't mean you have to repeat the test. That's what I love. I love that this is an individual thing between me and God. And so I'm always going to win as long as I don't make it about people. And as long as I see what he's showing me about me. And boy, he's showing us things, folks. He's showing us things about ourselves. He's showing us areas. He's also a lot of times showing you areas where he's given you authority, and he's going to make you stand in it, even if other people don't understand it. And I've learned from experience that the day comes back when they'll be in that same place and they'll go, oh, that's what God was doing to me then. I was thanking him today for pastors who didn't let me do what I wanted to do. Because now, years later, maybe 7 or 8 years later, I realized I wasn't ready for what I thought I was ready for then. I was not ready. And had I stepped out and had I been encouraged to go for it, I would have fallen on my face and probably hurt a lot of people. But at the time, I just couldn't understand why the doors closed and it just didn't seem fair. When God has something for you, no person can stop it. But if you run after it like an Ishmael, at some point, God will get you back on trail. He'll get you back on path. sometimes it's running after things for us to really hit the walls and find out what God really wants to do. So God smiles about that too. He wasn't upset that Peter got out of the boat. At least Peter knew who to cry out to when he started sinking. You know, just know who to cry out to if you start to sink. If you're afraid to ever do anything or try anything, you'll never know. You'll just live in so much fear. I'm glad I had the ministry in the bowling alley way back. I thought it was revival. I thought it was it. I thought God was going to move mightily. And he was faithful. He was awesome. But we were really shaking things up. We had meetings as big as this. And power of God was all over the place. In a stronger anointing than I feel now most of the time when I minister. But it was just an Ishmael. Though I was doing what God wanted me to do to shake up some things. And to walk up. But when the Lord said, close the door. I mean, we had lots of people coming. Things were happening. The Spirit of God was moving. And in the middle of the meeting, God says, this is your last meeting for a while. That was the test. What? Can you give it up? Yes, you're anointed. So what? This isn't what I have for you. And I just obeyed him. But it was hard. Folks, this is about obeying God. He's testing us. He's really testing us. We need to get every bit of our life in order. Don't be offended if someone says, hey, get your house in order. No, you're not going to smoke cigarettes and preach for Beauty for Ashes. And no, you're not going to have a major weight problem or a weight problem. And be able to really minister the way you want to. Let God deal with it. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be Twiggy. Doesn't mean Twiggy doesn't have a weight problem. It means, God, get me healthy. You know, as we're talking about this weight thing, what good is it if you move into everything God has for you and then you drop dead of a heart attack because you wouldn't deal with the spirit? Don't think Satan's doing this stuff for nothing, folks. It isn't a funny little thing. He means it. He's out to destroy you. Get a hold of that. He wants to destroy you. So you can get really deep. You can get really free. You can go after God. And then he's just going to say, okay, it's time for me to pull that heart attack thing. Because this is an area they wouldn't listen to me. And you don't have to be real overweight for the devil to pull a heart attack. I'm talking about give it all to God so God can be in charge. I'm preaching to myself too. Why give Satan any area to come and attack you? Because if you give it to him, he's going to take it. Stop and find out what it is. What is that root reason? If it's something that runs in your family, it's a curse. Christ hung on the cross. He chose a tree to hang on because that breaks the power of the curse. Go and break the power of the curse. Break any judgments you've made. Tell that foul spirit it has no authority. Anything you bought about you don't fit in or something's wrong with you, whatever you bought along the line to get a foul spirit, ask God to reveal it to you. One thing about true freedom is Holy Spirit has to be one revealing it. You're not going to find a formula book to make you free from everything. So Lord, show me what this is. Show me what this is. He says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. That's what we were talking about a minute ago. God wants you to actually not ever look at somebody in sin and say, wow, look what they get to do. Or I wish I could do that. Or I wish I had that. Or he does not want you to envy sinners, but he wants you to be zealous. That means he wants you to be so consumed with being, to understand the fear of the Lord. We have a teaching on the fear of the Lord. I really recommend that you get it if you don't understand the fear of the Lord. Satan has a counterfeit fear. Satan has a counterfeit fear based on how you were mistreated, based on how you were punished, not disciplined. Disciplined is to be discipled. Punished is to be hurt, where rage and anger is involved. Discipline is for your good. Punished or abused is because someone else has an anger problem. One should be led by the Spirit of God. The other is a counterfeit by the enemy. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Okay. Here's the verses we're getting to. Hear, my son, be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine drinkers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Ooh. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will cloth a man with rags. All right. When we do